The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I'm on OnlyFans.
Dog, the world.
What are you doing?
The world went to shit when fucking Rachel Dolezal opened up an OnlyFans.
Yes. Oh my God. Yo.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. I read it in that fit. Dog, she got some nice titties.
My question is her.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Aloha, you stupid bitches. I have my whole.
What?
I have my Hawaii outfit because I know it's gonna get cold. And guess what? I'm wearing this shit.
Mm-hmm.
We got a very special guest here. We have Emmanuel from Dormtainment.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me, David.
How long have I fucking known you now?
God damn, it's been at least 10 years?
10 plus years, dude.
2013, yeah, man.
Long fucking time, God, man. Back damn. When YouTube was a different space.
Yeah, man. You weren't dressing like a GTA character, as I said earlier. I'm bringing back a joke I said in front of
I'm doing though. Cocaine every fucking night. Bring back my
strippers.
Joke. What you been up to, man?
I've been good, man. Working, man. Trying to figure out, you know, how this whole YouTube thing's going down, man.
It's fucking different, the space.
It's different. It's very different. A lot of scammers in this game. It seems like that's what's popular.
You know, I was talking about this, too, with a few of my friends. And, you know, when we started doing YouTube and social media back in the day, everybody's stuff was so different.
It was.
You know, like, if people were doing comedy, everybody's comedy was different. Mm-hmm. And now you just see a carbon copy of everybody's
Jesus
shit.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yo, me and Tim were talking about this where we have this pet peeve where you'll see a trend on TikTok or Instagram.
Right.
And then everybody does it, but they do the exact same thing.
Same thing, right.
Like, why don't you add your own shit to it?
I think it's because they get used to doing, like, dances.
Mm-mm-mm.
You know, you do a dance on TikTok, everybody does the same dance. There's no necessarily creativity. They might add one leg up rather than down, but at the same time, they're just copying that. I feel like that became the trend. Just do what the other people are doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's how it kind of became with the comedy of
Yeah, like
TikTok
I saw like a lot of these jokes were like, for example, there was this a joke that was going around where people were getting skeletons and they were doing like chiropractic back cracks, but it was the same shit. Oh, wait, I just saw this somebody else do this.
That's so random.
Then I'm like, who's the originator of this joke? Like,
yeah.
Who was the first one?
And yeah. How does that person get that credit?
They don't. They just
Jesus
everybody
Christ.
Just steals it and then they just move on with it and then nobody cares. Because I know like back in the day, like stealing people's material was a big thing. Like you can't. Like, why the fuck would you do that?
Well, who is TikTok backed by?
Oh, it's Chinese people.
Come on. Who steals? Come on. You know?
They steal everything.
What type of IP? Why wouldn't we learn to steal each other's stuff from China? Come
you
know, on
Did
now.
You see that interview with the guy? I think the main, I think they're Taiwanese. I'm not sure. But the guy was basically speaking to some big crowd, important people anyways. Mm-hmm. And they were asking him, well, how do you feel about TikTok like infiltrating the minds of like young consumers? And they go, well, in China, kids aren't allowed on adult TikTok. Like, what are you talking about? Like,
I've heard that.
Yep. We regulate our kids' stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of silent.
They're like, they're only allowed to have it for like 2 hours, be on it 2 or 3 hours, no more.
Yeah, adult content is not allowed until they hit 18. They're like, what are you guys doing? You <know?
laughs> we just want to destroy your kids.
Yeah, exactly. Which is so smart. And I think for, like, I'm not all about like censorship or anything else like that, but definitely for like our younger generation, I do feel like we should protect what they watch.
Yeah.
Because it's like too much exposure. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't have this all this shit growing up.
No.
And I, you know, when pandemic happened, one of the things that I saw that tripped me out was watching kids play outside. There was fucking tons of kids playing outside, and I hadn't seen that shit in years.
Let me ask you, were you dressed like this while watching kids play
100%.
Outside?
My dick was out.
Oh, my God. For love of God.
Oh, I was just watching the kids like this. Hey, kids.
What's up?
I enjoy you guys having a good time.
Hey, mom. Hey, dad.
You want to sit on my lap? I'll give you a treat. I just tip my hat to them. Hello, children.
No, are but you like, a fan of Michael Jackson?
He's my hero.
Why do we get these weird voices?
Like, we were talking about on the podcast a while back too, where I, you know, they started doing all these documentaries on Michael Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw this one video that made me believe that Michael didn't do it. Was him talking about titties? And I was like, there's no...
I love that video. That is one of my favorite videos of Michael Jackson of all
time. Look at them fishies.
Look at them fishies. Call them fishies.
Look at them fishies.
I've never seen that man turn into such a southern black man in my life.
Like, look at him, Tim. You see him? Like, what the fuck?
He still got it.
Yeah, he still got it. Okay, but yeah, you know, that I could see how that could put a damper on pedophile rumors, I guess.
You know, for you guys, right? You guys were doing so many sketches, and I'm like, you know, I wonder for you guys when you guys decided to make that switch to stop doing sketches, because we all stopped doing sketches.
Yeah, I think for us, it was a burnout. I'll say for me, it was definitely a burnout. You know, I reached that point where I was like, you know, because we came into the game with the weekly thing. We wanted to make as much of YouTube into a show as possible. And so we were like, every Sunday at 7, that's when you're watching out for a Dormtainment skit. And it just got to the point, you know, after so many years, we've moved, we started doing things in the industry, and a lot of times that can damper on your initial, you know, what you're doing. You know, you start off with doing skits and stuff, but then they ask you, hey, what movie ideas, what TV shows, what all this, and now you're waiting on industry stuff while trying to get this done, and it kind of becomes kind of tough, you know?
Did you feel that when you guys started switching over into more traditional, like, Hollywood type of stuff, did it put, like, a bad taste in your mouth? Because it did for me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The hardest part for me was, you know, when we started going into YouTube, it was such a free space, right?
Yes.
There's no red tape.
Yes.
If we wanted to create something, we just created, and there was nobody else that could tell us otherwise, right? When I started going into this and I had to shake hands, I had to smile a little more, I had to do all these meetings where it didn't turn out to be anything at all, it started like eating away at me. I'm like, who the fuck are you people to tell me what I can and can't do?
Now, I immediately see why suicide rate in Hollywood's high.
Dude,
this is a terrible place. A part of me is excited right now because of the destruction that's going on. And I'm sorry to you actors and good people out there. But at the end of the day, a part of me wants to see Disney explode. A part of me wants to see some of these corporations just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Okay, because the way they've run business, where we come from such an innocent place, to be honest with you, doing skits and just gathering your friends and just doing something creative on YouTube was always just like a fun, passionate thing to do. We're just having fun. We're having a good time. We found out a way to make some money off of it. We can prosper a little bit, but it's like once you enter this industry stuff and they try to control you, or you see the games that people play and all this dumb shit, it's not that it's just not fun. It becomes tiresome.
Yes.
It feels like it draining you of, like, you know. And,
well, how many fucking masks and faces do we have to put on?
Jesus Christ, man.
And like, I think that the interesting thing was, I'm not sure if people know this, I have a problem of, you know, holding back the things I want to say. So like,
well, I love that. You know, like, we're on the same page.
So we go to these meetings, and then, you know, I see a lot of people kind of laughing at everything, and I'm like, there was nothing funny said. Why the fuck are so many people laughing right now?
Right.
You know, and when I went to this one mixer, it was for like this ABC event, mm-hmm. and I was there, and a lot of these actors don't know who's an executive and who's important or who's not. Mm. So they're just literally going up to assholes and then sucking the shit out of it to every person. And they don't, because they don't know. They just want to make sure that they have a job. And so, you know, for me, I show up at this mixer event like this, like in flip-flop shirts and a t-shirt.
Right, right.
Because I don't know what this shit is. I was just told to come, and I'm going to show up as comfortable as I'm mm-hmm. going to be. So I showed up. And there was this one guy, I still don't know who this guy's name was, but he was just laughing at everything that I was saying. And I was looking at him, and I was like, wait, I don't think he understands. Like, I'm not a casting director or an executive.
Right.
So I could tell he was, like, kissing my ass. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. in the middle of the conversation, when I realized that, I put my hand on his shoulder. I was like, I'm not a casting director. Like, you ain't got to do all this.
You know? Got to, man.
And the guy was like, oh, I knew. I was like, no, you didn't, dog. You thought I was somebody special, and I'm not. You know, I'm just here because I was invited.
You know, getting the opportunity to direct something, or when you start getting this little bit of power, of being able to create on your own and people want you and all this stuff, it's, you know, for most people, I mean, maybe for a lot of people, they like it. And from the outside looking in, you know, fans of us and stuff, they're often like, you know, wow, that's really cool. But it's kind of annoying.
Oh, dude, it's crazy annoying.
It's just really annoying. It's like, I don't want you kissing my ass. Just be human.
Yeah.
And just if we have a job, do the fucking job. I don't need you to, like, suck up to me, because I know this isn't you. You wouldn't do this if I was just
a regular person.
You know, a regular person. So just be you and do your job or whatever, and let's get it done. And maybe we could be cool, but the kiss ass thing doesn't work for me. I don't like the fakery of,
and like actors too, they're always put into this weird place because, you know, they have their set opinions, right? Mm-hmm. But they won't say it because they're always scared that they're going to lose a job. Mm-hmm. So what they'll do is they'll take the shit, they'll pretend like they like everybody, and then they'll talk shit about somebody's back, they'll come back, and it just becomes this whole just terrible, mm-hmm. toxic type of thing that you're in. And I just remember going to these meetings, going to these events, and I just hated everybody. I'm like, I have not met a single person here that I, like, if I have a conversation with you, I still don't know who you are, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, if I talk to them outside of this, then they're a lot more relaxed.
Right.
But it's just like, how often do you have to do this? Like, because if I have to do this every day, I can't do this for a fucking living.
Right.
And I think, like, so after I did the film, I tried doing acting. And, you know, till this day, I'll still audition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a weird space to be in where when we were doing stuff, we did it because we liked it, not mm-hmm. because we needed it.
Right.
And so for this, for a lot of actors, they're literally vying for a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And so they'll take and do absolutely anything.
Yeah.
And so they're kissing ass. They're doing all this stuff just so they could pay their fucking bills. And for me, I don't have that. I'm like, listen, like, I've established myself outside of this.
Right.
This is a bonus. Like, I've done everything that I wanted to, mm-hmm. but let me see if I could do this as well.
Right.
If it's like, when I dropped my agent, you know, one of the bigger conversations that we had before I decided that I didn't want to be with them was, he was like sending me these auditions, right? And it was for, I'm not saying that I'm above these roles, right? But I have a certain amount of time, right? I'm still doing my own thing. And so it would be like, oh, I want you to go in for this audition for this casting director. It's like, I just had lunch with that casting director. Mm-hmm. I don't need to meet them.
Right,
they know who
right.
I am. And they go, okay, cool. But it's for like a small, it's like a one-liner. And I'm like, I don't want to do this audition. And he goes, why not? And I'm like, because I don't need it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's hard to tell them, I don't need this. Like, give me something that I can care about.
Right.
And so, you know, when I started getting callbacks and stuff, they get super excited.
Mm-hmm.
But in that initial conversation, they're just like, oh, this guy's not going to make it.
Right.
It's like, well, you don't know what I can or can't do. You know? And so after I dropped them, I booked the Netflix thing. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, they messaged me, congratulations. It's like, no. We're not doing this whole congratulations shit. We had this whole long, extensive conversation. Mm-hmm. You told me that you essentially were saying that I wasn't going to make it. And then I booked this big thing. And then you messaged me back. It's like, we're done here.
Yeah.
And I dislike that because
the Hollywood game, man. It's the Hollywood shuffle.
And like the conversations that they kind of have with you is, and I'm pretty sure they have to do this with their job, but they're trying to make it seem like, oh, we're buddies. Like, we're not buddies. Mm. Like, you have a contractual obligation to make sure I book stuff so you get paid.
Right.
So send me things that I can kill it at.
Yeah.
Right? Don't, let me tell you this one audition, Doug. I got this audition.
Please.
For, it was like a, a version of, they were trying to reboot something, like a version of Teen Wolf.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the role
This was, is before the latest one or something that came
out? Yeah, this was some other spinoff of the new version of Teen Wolf.
Okay.
And the role was for a young 20s, handsome, buff werewolf. Mm-hmm. I was 300 pounds at the time. I get this audition. I look at the script. I look at the descriptors. I'm like, who the fuck is this for? Mm. Like, what is it? I call up my agent. I'm like, hey, why? Why would I audition for this? And he goes, well, I just want you to go in front of this casting director. I'm like, do you have any? The lines are so... As I was reading the lines, I was trying not to laugh. Because at this point, when I was like, what, 29?
Yeah.
And it was for like a 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it literally says physically fit. Right? I'm 300 pounds.
That's
I got
hilarious.
Tit spilling out my shirt. And in fact, I gained so much weight. I didn't have a shirt that fit me at the time.
Dog.
So my shirt looked like a wetsuit.
Oh my God.
I got the fucking nipples poking out. I got 6 rolls coming out.
Come on, man. That sounds sexy to me. Ladies and gentlemen, come on, man. You can't say that. Teen Wolf right here.
If there was a full moon, I would turn into a bulldog. Like, there's
breathing issues and all.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm a werewolf. Motherfucker gay, too? The hell? What the fuck is going on?
God.
Dog, I was so mad, but I kept running into these like situations. And, you know, some of my actor friends didn't understand. They go, dude, I would kill to be in your position to get, you know, these auditions. And I'm like, well, that's the difference. It's like, I'm not killing for these roles.
Do you feel you're more creator? Would you consider yourself, or like, what? Because I feel like there's a difference between those who want to act and be in stuff and be picked up and those who want to just, like, I just want to create my thing.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I think that's what it is too, right? I don't need spotlight.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
If I could, let's say if I wrote something and somebody else did it, or even if I wrote something, somebody else took the credit, but I got a fat paycheck, take it. I don't give a fuck because it's not about me, right? I got my satisfaction because I got to create something, but you're not going to take it for free. If somebody came up to you, right? I wrote the script. Somebody fell in love with it. They go, I want my name on it. I'll take your name off it. Here's $5 million. Mm-hmm. Take it. I don't give a fuck.
Don't give a fuck.
I'll write something else again.
That's the one greatest thing that I learned in Hollywood is that what do they say? Don't be attached to the baby.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
Throw it out with the bathwater.
I guess throw it out with the bathwater.
I think that's how the phrase goes.
Yeah, they kill a lot of babies in Hollywood, apparently. So I think, don't being so attached to that script or that one project, and if it goes, it goes. If it goes without you and you're able to make whatever, just keep it moving.
And I think sometimes for young creators too, like you guys think that every single one of your ideas are so precious that you just kind of sit on these ideas.
Right.
Nothing is precious.
Nothing's
and precious. If you only have one good idea, then this might not be for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I think for me, I kept on sitting on ideas for so long, I just wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's like piss or get off the pot.
Right.
And then what you'll find is that you had this great idea, somebody else is going to think of something very similar, they'll do it, and you'll be like, oh, I missed my fucking
right,
chance.
Exactly.
And it happens. It happened to me a lot. It happens to a lot of young people. A lot of us, yeah. So I was like, one of my friends hit me up because one of his friends wants to get into clothing, right? Mm-hmm, and I have the brand Secret Society.
Nice.
And sometimes with these kids, like, they're not asking you for advice. They're asking you to reaffirm what they already believe.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this kid kind of irritated me because he was asking how to get into clothing. And I'm like, I don't know, to be honest with you. Like, well, what do you think success is? Like, do you think I'm a very successful person in clothing? He goes, yeah, I saw your stuff. I was like, well, you and everybody's mom has a fucking clothing brand, dude.
Pretty much.
You know, there's space for everybody. Mm-hmm. But basically, I was telling him this is like, if you want to get into clothing, you better be ready to leave everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because fashion moves fast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have it, you don't have it. And Sometimes people who don't have it have better connections.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're willing to die for this, then do it. Because out of all the things that I've done, clothing has been the most difficult. And if I could redo it, I probably wouldn't do it again.
Has it been prosperous?
No, profits are there. You know, it's not. My issue is this, right? It's like, I always want to create, because like I said, I'm a creator.
Right.
The vision is so important to me, right? Mm-hmm. There are definitely things that we could do to make a bigger paycheck. But then at the end of the day, when I leave and I pass, I want to be very happy with the things that I do. Because I didn't have to create this clothing brand.
Right.
We didn't have to create Secret Society. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like, oh, this is a gap that's missing in this space.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that my goal is to be a house name brand where everybody has it in their closet.
Yeah.
And if I can't do that, then there's no point to this. Then it's just a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we wanted to just make a paycheck, we could just work a fucking 9 to 5.
You goddamn right. Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So why not just do that? We go into work. Obviously, not everything's guaranteed, but at least I know what I'm doing, and I can walk away with a paycheck. And then if this job doesn't work out, I'll apply to another one.
Yeah. Bare minimum, I'd rather go off, you know, if I'm going to fail, I'll fail on my own terms rather than whatever other people says, you know, an employer or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do like that. Like, do you find with fashion, though, has that always been a big passion of yours?
Well, for me, like, listen, I never wear clothes, but I love clothes. And the reason why is because I'm always doing shit. Like, I'm always, like, every morning I walk 5 miles, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I kickbox and I box. There's no fucking way in between this that I'm going to wear something that I enjoy.
Okay.
Like, I'm sweating.
That's hilarious.
All the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So years ago, I just said, you know what? Fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we'll put what I like into clothing here.
Right.
For me, I'm going to dress like a drug dealer. We're just going to leave it at that.
Yeah. That's the guy that owns the
Come on. Papi.
No, that's cool as hell. Do you have to keep up? Is it a matter of keeping up with trends or trying to set a trend?
It's a little bit of both,
okay.
Right? So for us, our branding was like, so my partners have been into clothing for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't understand branding.
Right.
So one of the biggest issues that they had when they first started was they were trying to be too cool for school,
mm-hmm.
right? So if my thing is that I always tell people, when you start a brand, you need to tell me what your brand is within one sentence. If you can't do it, fuck off and go back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because nobody's going to sit here and listen to a fucking 10-minute diatribe about why you think you're cool.
Yeah.
Tell me what you are.
I'm cool because when I grew up...
Exactly. This isn't a Yelp elite review, right? Nobody gives a fuck about the sandwich that you ate in the morning and then about your husband who didn't fuck you. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So like with one of my partners, his biggest issue was like, I would ask him, so what is Secret Society? And he goes, well, okay. I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
I already don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. It's just like a movie pitch,
mm-hmm.
right? What is it in one... We are high quality fashion basics. That's it.
Right.
People need to know that, mm-hmm. right? And we're trying to fill in this space that other people don't have. And I think for me, you know, when I buy garments and clothing, it's like, I like value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to wear something and then have it die out. Fast fashion became huge,
right?
Because it became for the everyday person who mm-hmm. wanted clothes.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody fucking knows when you get stuff from Shein, mm-hmm. you get stuff from H&M, what the fuck happens when you wash it once?
It falls apart.
It's wrecked. So you could either spend $25 on this one item, or you could spend maybe even double.
Yeah.
Even, but triple. You keep it for the rest of your life.
Right, right, right.
And fashion basics never die. They stay around forever.
Yeah.
So that's why I like fashion basics. So this is where we wanted to carve out our space, you know.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that, man. You dabble in different areas and you're passionate about each one, you know what I'm saying? Because there are a lot of people that jump into all these areas. I find a lot of artists, I was talking with the guys the other day about rappers today. Like a lot of rappers, like especially the ones of our age generation, like the Drake, the Big Sean's, mm-hmm. the J. Cole's, all these guys, they do so many different things that I don't know if there's a lot of times, is there an elite artist of just this, of hip hop, of just this rap anymore? Like can you still just be an artist at this, or do you have to diversify into all these things? Because it kind of makes it hard to point out who's great.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who's great when it's not your complete focus? Michael Jordan, his complete focus was that. Mike Tyson, his complete focus was that. Now, these are athletics. You know, I know it's not exactly what we do and other artists doing shit, but it just kind of, I have that problem of how focused do you be on something?
Yeah.
How much can you diversify and still be great at it?
I'll say this, right? So I got like diagnosed with like ADHD mm-hmm. like 6-7 months ago,
okay.
which I already knew I had it, but you know, I just got the test and then I was like in denial the whole time. Like mm-hmm. I was talking to the doctor to like, you might have ADHD. I was like, listen here, bitch, you don't know shit. even though I paid her,
right.
I set up this whole thing, you know? But it's like, okay, you
right,
know,
right.
I'm in denial. You know, for a lot of creatives, what we're finding out too is like ADHD is very common for creatives. We are all, we require a lot of high stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traditionally, in a traditional workforce sense, it's probably the worst. You have to sit down, sit still, get your work done.
And do it.
For people who are creatives, it's very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens for people with like ADHD, we need high stimulation to stay focused. So for most people, and this was explained to me by the doctors, like for most people, when they do like a remedial task, whether it's finishing a task, a job or whatever, they get a I don't know if this is the right term, but a baseline endorphin hit
mm-hmm.
for completing a task and doing stuff. For someone who has like ADHD
mm-hmm.
or ADD or whatever that is, you try to do it, you get a zero endorphin hit.
Hmm.
And so you just cannot fucking focus. And
right.
so things like Ritalin and all these other things, they basically allow you to focus because it gives you that little
right,
shit
right.
that everybody else has. Okay. I would never suggest somebody who wants to be successful in the space to do the things the way that I do it.
Mm-hmm.
It is fucking chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down, focus on one task, and become a master at your craft.
Okay, okay. So you would actually suggest the opposite.
Yeah, if you don't have my itchy ass syndrome, where I'm just
right.
fuck it, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right, right.
Then I wouldn't suggest you do what I do because okay. it's also very like anxiety inducing.
Right.
But for me, what's anxiety inducing for most people, for me, it's just the chaos that I enjoy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you know, the other good part about me is that I'm always somebody who likes to be a man of my word. So if I say I'm going to complete it, I'm going to complete
yes,
it.
Yes.
You know, with this clothing brand, you know, fucking pandemic almost wrecked us, right? Yeah. We were bleeding. We didn't make anything for almost 3 years. And then, you know, developing the relationship with the people that we sold the clothing to and then also the fan base, they revived it back. Our first year back, it fucking took us all back out of the negative. We were back in the positive.
Fucking fantastic.
So, you know, I think for me, what I kind of done really well is stayed true to who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so people who watch this show, watch all my stuff, they know who I am. Mm-hmm. They know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
They know that I'm going to say fucking stupid shit, fucked up things or whatever,
yeah.
but it's all in form of comedy.
Yeah.
So I have that trust with people.
Yes.
And I kind of put that trust in everything else that I do.
That's the most important. That really is the most important because in what we do, you know, now since moving on from Dormtainment, we started Comedy Trap House, which is our podcast channel and everything. And I always knew that like podcasting would be, because the one thing from Dormtainment that it built a large fan base, but people knew us as a group. It's like
yeah.
knowing Wu-Tang.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
might
yeah.
not know everybody at first until you get to know each
yeah.
other.
yeah.
You know, there were six of us in a group. And so I felt like podcasting gave an opportunity for people to know each one of us, you know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? And really get, you know, to I hate to say buy into, but just get to know us better, you know? And if you get to know us, I'm sure the people that are like us will buy into and support what we do.
Yeah.
And I think any artist, any person that's creating, you know, you have to develop a fan base where they know you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am a man, just like you, that wants to say whatever the fuck I want to say.
yeah,
you know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
At any point, I want to talk about, listen, whether we're talking about Jesus, Allah, Buddha, whatever, they're going to get these jokes too.
Yeah.
It's just the truth. You're going to get these jokes.
Okay. Yeah.
But I just feel like once you have an audience that knows who you are, they know your characteristics, they don't know, they know that you're not coming from a place of malice or mm-hmm. or anything, that they'll support you for the long haul.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? It's not, and if you could find that rather than going to these, you know, the studios or whatever, begging for help and having to suck, you know, who you think a director is, dick,
yeah, yeah,
at a meeting or whatever. Yeah. You know, that is the route I think most people would cherish in the long term.
Yeah, and, you know, people are finding this out, too. It's like, acting is such a weird thing, right? I'll talk to certain people, and one of the things that I get disappointed in, if you fall into this category, you're a piece of shit, because I always hear people say very specific phrases. They'll say mm-hmm. stuff like this, and it sounds really nice at first. They get into this mind state where when they're the person outside looking in, they always judge the people on the inside. They
absolutely.
Go, these actors are pieces of shit.
Right.
Well, guess what? When they're allowed into that group, mm-hmm. they become that
yep,
person.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're not mad at them for being pieces of shit. You're mad that you're not a part of that
yep,
group where
yep.
you get to treat everybody
you're
else like a piece
perks.
Of shit.
Yep, yep.
And I was like, that's the big difference.
That's real.
And yeah. I've seen that so many times over and over mm-hmm. again. I'll give you another example. I was at this other mixer event, and there was a friend of mine who we did a lot of work together. And when I knew her at the time, this girl mm-hmm. was on fucking welfare. She couldn't even pay her bills. But she blew up, yep. right? I see her. Everything's cool, whatever. She goes, David, how have you been? Like, oh, I've been meaning to contact you, blah, 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 blah. Let's do lunch. First of all, this bitch has never said let's do lunch to me let's ever. I'm like, where'd you get this fucking phrase
oh,
from?
My God.
And I looked at her. I was like, hey, don't fucking talk to me like I'm brand new or some shit all like right. that. I was like, if you wanted to hit me up, you have my fucking phone number. Hit me up. Right, don't do this little fucking let's do lunch conversation shit, right? And I think also for her, she forgot. It's like, I'm not a part of your group.
Right.
I'll never be a part of this group. Like, right. you got to talk to me how we used to talk to each other. Afterwards, she apologized. She goes, yeah, I don't know why I said that shit. I'm just so in here that this is how everybody talks. I got caught up. I was like, yeah, don't do that shit to me. You know what I mean? Like,
Hollywood is the real zombie apocalypse. Because if you really think about it, the way they go about just copying their lingo
yeah.
and the way they all just melt into this pot, it's like they're trying to eat your soul too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just feel like every industry you go into, you're going to have your annoying ass people in. And you're going to have the games they play. You're going to have, you're going to have to somewhat either meld into how they do, because that's what they do. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? You're in their industry.
The worst part about it too is, like, now we're seeing this. I've seen it a couple of times too, where I've been pretty vocal about it. There are writers now who are so untalented and shitty that they now scour the internet podcast and they steal people's life stories and they put into their scripts. Like, you're gonna start seeing it a lot. Like, all the stuff that we're putting out here, it's all of our personal lives and jokes and stories that they don't fucking have. They're going into these podcasts and they're like, oh, this is a good story, and they're stealing it, and you're not getting any credit for it,
and you won't even know, because they're gonna make the Dude. One of the apes from Planet of Apes have that story.
100%. You see it, like Theo Von,
he was a comedian, he started going hard play. That's the next Planet of
Dude,
Apes,
like
right
the
there.
Show Dave on yeah. FX, whoever the fuck was a writer, they stole a Theo Von joke and they put it directly in the fucking script, and then Theo Von called it out. He's like, the fuck is this shit? This is my shit.
Was it through dialogue, or was it like visually played out?
Visually and dialogue. So he was making a joke. I think it was either on the Rogan podcast or his podcast. It's something about wooden shirts.
Okay.
About this, you know, because like Theo Von always talks about these stupid hypotheticals from his like honky tonk town.
Right.
And they took that joke and they put it into a script. And it's like, who else thinks of some shit like this besides Theo Von?
Damn.
And so, like, writers are doing that. So sometimes when these writers, like, they're on strike, and look, so I'm with you guys, but there's a fat chunk of you that are the most talentless fucks I've ever met in my life.
Oh my God.
And so they steal all these stories, mm-hmm. and now they're doing the strike, mad at other, you know, for AI and other people, like, taking credit for their stuff. You already stole your stories from other people. So what the fuck are you talking about?
Damn. David just blew my mind with
like
that.
Like, every podcaster out there, if you're doing online content, be very wary where you don't tell your stories and talk your shit, but just watch what goes online and watch what goes on Netflix and TV. You'll see all your stories there. And it's
that is crazy.
You'll see it. It's already happening.
So even the idea of the strike is like, y'all are stealing
It's not all writers, right?
Not all, but I'm saying, not like, all of them. Of
there
course,
is that portion that I've seen so many times and right. it pisses me off. And I've heard other people tell me this stuff too.
Right.
Because I'll bring it up. I was like, hey, what about this joke on this show? Right. I was like, this sounds a little familiar to something that I heard here. And they're like, you know, they kind of just, I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Damn.
You know?
And not, and who's to tell that AI, ChatGPT, and all these things aren't taking from that too. Other creators, YouTube, podcast stories and stuff. And once, you know, and implementing it into, because it takes from everywhere else. So. Yeah.
And this is the other problem too. What TikTok did something very, very good in the sense of they found something out. Most people, especially young people, they actually don't care about being a creative. They don't care about credit. They actually don't care about any of that stuff. Mm. They just want people to know who they are.
Right.
TikTok in the first year became, I think, you could probably look this up, I think they became a $1 billion company in their first year that they launched or something very close to that, right?
Yeah.
And they paid creators out zero.
Mm.
And guess what? No creators complained.
That's crazy.
None of them complained.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they don't care about the money. They care about social currency. They only want people to recognize who they are.
Yeah.
So in our stuff was like, hey, we're creating this stuff, but we need to make our paycheck.
Right.
I was at a TikTok event, and I've said this on this podcast before. I met a bunch of TikTokers, and not all of them. There's like the 1% that does really fucking
right,
well.
Right, right.
And that's because they sell products. Yeah, they do all this. They have a whole management team. But for the TikTok creators alone who don't do that, that don't know how to do this stuff, they have millions of views, right? Broke as shit. Mm. I was like, how the fuck did you make this company X amount of money and you're not asking for anything back, right? But once again, they don't think like that. They go, oh, I went to like Ibiza on a free trip. I was like, so they gave you a coach ticket that cost $1,000 to Ibiza in this shitty little fucking hotel.
Yeah.
And then you thought that was payment?
Yeah.
You could have done that and got a paycheck. You never asked. So it's like TikTok found out that most kids do not care about this stuff.
Right.
They could just use them and then toss them aside and they won't even complain.
Right.
They're just
And they're getting them. I think they're getting them so young that they're making it where it's that's not even a part of the culture to make money off of it.
Yeah.
You know, like they're just used to like, oh, I just want to be famous. Right?
People flex super hard on the gram and you meet them in person. I'm like, damn, you broke his foot.
Yeah.
No, you, one of the saddest things I always see is like an OnlyFans girl that nobody watches their shit.
Oh my God.
bitch, you sold your pussy for pennies.
Oh my God. Did you see the video of old girl? Who is it? One, a former NBA player. He found out his wife or girl was started doing OnlyFans.
What?
And she filmed him while he was the first time he finds out. So he's getting upset and she's filming the whole, he got mad that he found out I have a OnlyFans and da da da. She comes out later and says, well, he knew what I did beforehand. And I guess she did maybe some stuff in the past. And this is like a, I don't know, she looked like she's 50 years old or something.
Yeah, damn.
I mean, they're black, so it looks so different. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's just like, this OnlyFans, TikTok, all these things are somehow gotten a grasp on American culture by the nuts. And it's like, I don't know. It's making the world weird.
Let me
and they're
ask
having
you this.
A false sense of reality where it is, they just want the attention. It's not even that much about, for OnlyFans, it's money. But it's also attention, you know?
Sometimes, like, when I go into, like, these, if I go into, like, OnlyFans and I see, like, a girl, you could tell she doesn't really have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
She has a few followers. She goes, check out my OnlyFans. And I click on that shit. It says like 3 subscribers.
God. You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
My lovely genius brain farts. This podcast is brought to you by Fume. Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've been there too, but here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up. It's about switching up, baby. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better
healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. What is Fume, you ask? Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. You get it. Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy that makes replacing your bad habit easy. I keep one in my car just because I'm a fidgety guy. And guess what? I'd be puffing on that delicious herbal tea vapor, my friends. Nothing bad for you in there. And definitely, definitely fun to use. My friends, start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/genius and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use my code genius to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Start the good habit at tryfume.com/genius to save 10% off the journey pack today.
I just want to subscribe to her, just be like, get your shit together. And then just
subscribe
unsubscribe.
Here's
$10, get your shit together.
That is hilarious. Like,
this isn't worth it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is only worth it.
But they don't want that, man. There was another video of a guy going up to a prostitute, probably on Figueroa or something like this. And he says, hey, how much? And she's like, whatever, whatever. He's like, I'll give you, he probably said double of that just to wash my car. And she said, no, I'm not doing that. And walked off. Get the fuck. She said no. She wants to be out here hooking. That's an old ass way of saying
it. She's trying to be hooking.
She's trying to be hooking.
Goddamn streets.
But she was out there. She literally said no to washing this man's car for possibly $200. Probably take you 15
That's
minutes.
That's fucking wild.
She was like, no. Like, it was disrespectful to say, it's hey, like, wash my car for two.
You trying to get your dick sucked or not? It's like, no.
Jesus, right.
I'll give you $200 if you wash my car.
No. Excuse you. I said this pussy's 150. Like, what the fuck?
But
man,
dude, I'm telling you, man, like, it's such a weird space. And
Island Boys. I text you about that shit, bro.
Hey.
I almost threw up in my mouth. Like, this is what it's becoming.
Those boys are so fucking funny to me because I've never seen somebody make a defense for the videos that had nothing to do with what people were freaked out about. They were like, hey, it's cool because I'm gay. And we're like, he's your brother!
The fuck, man? I didn't even know they tried to defend it.
That was the defense. I was like, the gay part's not the problem. You're fucking your brother. Yo, like, what are you talking about? He's like, bro, I got this. We gay. And then everybody was just silent. Like, that was never the problem. They're over here, like, putting, like, cucumbers in their pants, and they're sucking the cucumber off of the other brother. It's gotten to that point.
Yo, this shit is
I'm not
wild,
saying I subscribe to them, all right? People have been sending me things.
I'm just saying, like that just shows you, like, the 80s movies that predicted this future, I think is true.
Yeah.
We're in the 80s movies timeline. RoboCop, what that future was, that we're in RoboCop.
Bro, Black Mirror, the newest season doesn't even affect me because we're living it now.
Right, right. It's just regular. I'm like, what? I'm watching the news. Oh, it's Black Mirror. Like, no, exactly. What the fuck?
Dog,
it's nothing different.
It's such a weird space. And, you know, let me ask you this. Would you date a girl if she had an OnlyFans?
Fuck no. Fuck no. I don't want any. Look, I think there is a demonic spirit in some of these hoes today.
Hey, so where's the fucking church organ at right
like,
now?
Like, come on. I really don't. But there is something like, I would not suggest anybody date an OnlyFans model. I don't suggest anybody like. And the sad thing is, the future seems to hold nothing but that. You know, everybody's. Fellas, your daughters are going to be on OnlyFans. Let's just keep it real.
I'm praying.
Like, it's just going to happen. They're going to end up on OnlyFans.
If I have a daughter and she wants to get into, I pray that she looks just like me.
Oh, my.
I fucking pray.
So you take a picture of yourself and be like, hey, fellas, this is what you want to see.
Yeah, you want to see this shit? You want to see this shit right now? So she has zero fans and she's just shelling out pussy for fucking nothing.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Like, it's weird because, you know.
My daughter going to wash that car. You better wash that car. Fuck out.
Do you see those videos? I forgot. Some dudes with a podcast, but they always have, like, OnlyFans girls debate.
Yeah, the fresh and fits and stuff
Like that. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, and they're always
called,
like,
whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. See, Pete knows. He's subscribed. That's why. He's like, I'm a fan.
Oh, man. Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah. But they always debate these other people. And, you know, obviously they're getting people who can't really defend themselves.
Right.
But every time, the only argument that they have is like, well, I'm out here making money. It's like, okay, that's it? This is your only basis for you to show value in your life?
Yeah.
It's just not for me. Like, I obviously grew up different, you know. I just can't agree with that.
No.
And it's like, you know, also too, you know, some people are like, well, why do you care about what they do? It's like, because they are a representation of the future, right? They're a younger generation. They represent the future. That's why I care.
It's just random to say that. It's weird to say that,
we're wrong.
Why should you care? I shouldn't care about society. I shouldn't care about like what happens for our kids' future, for the future of other people, like where this whole thing goes. Like, I shouldn't care.
I just don't know. It's like, if your whole branding and idea is, I'm going to get butt naked and suck dick, and then the sentence after that is that, why don't you respect my mind? I'm like, because I'm not masturbating to your mind.
Right. My mind is
What the fuck are you talking about?
But
I feel like you're going to read a thesaurus to me, and I'm like, yeah.
Right.
Oh.
I mean, it's just weird, man. You could be jacking off to OnlyFans girls while watching YouTube while they're talking to these OnlyFans girls, and then Sexy Red is talking about booty hole brown. It feels like a weird, weird time to be... Because it goes against everything I grew up with, right?
Yes.
Like, as millennials, I guess we're the last of this... We're like this cross-generation, right? Like this of kids that knew pre-internet, and now we're here with the internet. But I was growing up to treat women differently, to they're not to be harmed, they're to be, you know.
Dudes be swinging on girls now.
Oh my god!
No, it's wild.
I saw a video of Blueface talking to this girl in the car, talking about. He was like, "Well, you start fights." She was like, "You start fights with me." He was like, "I don't give a fuck. You say something to me, I'll beat the shit out of you." I'm like.
And then everybody's just like, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah. Oh, good content.
Yeah. they go, equal rights, equal lefts is what they say. That's like, Jesus Christ, dude. What the fuck is going on?
That's why we can't do skits anymore. Yeah. Like, the world is funny enough. This is a sketch.
Yeah.
All of this is a sketch. You got Island Boys, the brothers making out for content. You know, you got fucking, you know, this is just ridiculous, man.
Yeah, like...
50-year-old woman coming out saying, I'm on OnlyFans.
Dog, the
like,
world...
What are you doing?
The world went to shit when fucking Rachel Dolezal all opened up at OnlyFans.
Yes. Oh my god. Yo.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie. I fucking read it in that fit. No, she got some nice titties.
My question is her booty hole brown? That's what I want to know. Is it brown or is it pink? I mean, dog, no.
When I saw that, I was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
She got a transracial booty hole. That's what that's what I believe.
Is she on Pornhub black or is she on Pornhub
right,
white?
Right.
Like, you don't know which
is one. She in the ebony category or the, you know.
She fucking fooled us though.
Bruh.
She fooled us. Like
the world.
When I saw, like if I look at her, I actually know a girl who's half black, half white that actually looks like Rachel Dolezal. So it tripped me out. I'm like, holy shit.
There's plenty of them. Is she Jewish? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I saw...
Because Jewish people kind of have like those features.
The curly hair.
Curly hair. They can have fros.
I don't think she has naturally curly hair because I saw a photo of her when she was younger. She was blonde.
Okay.
She's blonde with straight hair. She looked like she turns butter. Like that. She's like from the source. Like she came from a waterfall. Like she's like that type of white.
8.5 by 11.
Exactly.
White. Okay.
Yeah, but when she started opening up the OnlyFans, dude, I feel bad for her kids because her kids were getting bullied in school because of that shit.
Kids.
What time are we at right now?
45 minutes.
Okay, awesome. So I wanted to talk about this, but it's fucking sidetracked, but I'm just going to throw it in just because it's great for titles. Chandler Bing.
Chandler Bing
from Friends.
Yes.
What is his actual name?
I hope when major news outlets come out, they didn't just call him Chandler.
Matthew Perry passes away.
Yes.
You know, I feel like if you guys got to see who, if you guys ever watched Friends throughout like the 10 seasons, right? You saw Matthew Perry kind of go up and down in weight, the way that he looks.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of people didn't know on the outside, especially because, you know, we were so young when it came out, mm-hmm. he was actually going through a lot of drug addictions.
Right.
A lot, like cocaine, everything that you name it. And then when he...
While the show was going on?
While the show was going on. that's the, I mean, I know this has nothing to do with it, but I'm actually pretty amazed because I believe it was like the third or fourth season when he was super skinny. Mm-hmm. That's when he was abusing drugs like crazy.
Okay.
But his acting was still on point. There is a different caliber level of acting when you're a drug addict and you still show up and fucking kill it.
Damn, dog. But did it enhance his acting? Is that what it did to you?
Maybe, I don't know.
Because if it enhances acting... Which one of y'all got some coke?
Yeah, I know. When I heard about this shit, they found out he was dead in his hot tub.
Yeah.
After playing pickleball.
Pickleball?
Yeah, he was playing pickleball. Right. Have you heard of pickleball?
I've heard of it, but I don't know how it would.
Do black folk play pickleball?
No, I don't.
All right.
Yeah, does that incorporate a smaller ball?
So
we like big balls. Like footballs, basketball. Yeah. Actual nuts.
It blew up in the last like 5 or 6 years, but it's like ping pong and tennis mixed together.
Okay. Right?
So it blew up recently. Mm-hmm. Everybody's playing pickleball. You go into like South Pasadena, Sherman Oaks, you see a tennis court, they're converting it into pickleball courts.
Okay.
So it's so it's that big right now. Okay. Huge industry. But
what are the people like that are in there? They're kind of
old and white.
Old and white, okay.
Typically old and white.
I'm going to go out and play some pickleball.
Old and white or young and Asian. There's no in between.
Okay, all right.
But he has a pickleball coach. He was playing. I didn't know there was pickleball coach in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But he was doing that in his hot tub, and then his assistant found him dead in the hot tub. And you told me somebody took a photo of him and released it.
Yeah, I saw it online. They had a picture of him in the hot tub. I hope he wasn't dead in the picture.
I
hope he was just chilling, but somebody said it was before he passed, so.
That's fucking crazy, man.
Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, he was going through a whole bunch of shit, and like, I always wondered too, there's like this weird thing where people don't, there's a fat group of people who hate Friends. They think Friends is like one of the worst sitcoms of all time.
I've never really, I've watched a couple episodes, but I've never judged, I just knew it as an American staple.
Yeah.
And then I know the song, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but I wasn't into the show as much. Was he like, who was the, Jennifer Aniston was obviously like the standout, right?
The show had such a good ensemble cast. Everybody played an important part.
Okay.
It was hard to say who you liked more
because
everybody was so fucking different.
Okay.
And this is like during the golden age of sitcoms where sitcom actors were the shit. They were so good at what they fucking did.
Right.
And so Friends was probably known the most for their cast chemistry. They had some of the best cast chemistry you could have ever seen on a long-going sitcom. And they were also, obviously, in the last season, I think everybody paid $1 million an episode.
Jesus,
and this was back in the day.
Right.
So you could imagine how much money they all made. So they're pretty much set for life.
Right.
For him, like this, he kind of played the goofy, quirky guy that had a lot of commitment issues.
That's right, yeah.
And everybody loved his weird character. He eventually got together with Ross Geller, his sister, and that was like a whole fun a little story arc that they did.
Okay.
The writing was really good and the jokes were really on point.
Nice.
A lot of people, for some reason, like this sect of people, I think it's just counterculture. Mm-hmm. Like counterculture, they just don't want to like Friends.
Okay.
They think that is fucking terrible. And listen, for me too, it wasn't really up my alley in humor, but as I watched it, the cast chemistry was so fucking funny, good. It made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because one of my what's your favorite sitcom of all time?
That's hard to say, man. I mean, you got your... Favorite sitcom, man, you got your Fresh Princes, you have your Seinfelds, you have
Seinfelds up there for me too. Fresh Princes up there for me.
What's another good one?
Martin,
of course. Cosby Show. Like black sitcoms in the 90s. Well, I feel like all white sitcoms were great. 90s and that early 2000s was amazing.
King of Queens, Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes, all of those. Yes.
All these like stand-up comics were getting their own shows.
Yeah, man. That was such a good time to watch TV. Saved by the Bell. Even the kids.
Yeah.
Kids shows that were sitcoms were amazing. You know what I mean?
My favorite of all time, sadly enough, is The Cosby Show.
Really?
I've watched The Cosby Show first season all the way till end probably over like 40 or 50 times.
What's the first scene that comes to your mind when you think of Cosby?
The very first episode of The Cosby Show where Theo was sitting in his bedroom.
Okay.
And then he told...
Oh, I know what you're up with the bat.
The Cosby, he goes, why can't you just love me for who I am? And he's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. You know?
Yes.
It was like a shocking thing for sitcom because you never saw the sitcom dad do that to the
kid.
So Bill Cosby, you know, for what it's worth, let me tell you something. I love Bill Cosby so much. When all these allegations came out, I was like, this is not real. When allegation 178 came out, I was like, maybe.
Maybe.
When 356 came out, I was like, maybe he did this. All right. Just maybe. But I loved Bill Cosby.
Man.
I had a a wall of comedians that I respected, mm-hmm. right? It was Bill Cosby, there was Dave Chappelle, and then there was Eddie Murphy. And I had three posters side by side. That shit, I was like, all right, Cosby. people will walk into the room, they're like, yo, what the fuck? I'm like, it hasn't been proven yet.
Dog, I just hear music. We fall down. Yeah. But we get up.
Dog. So I had to take that shit down. And then Bill Cosby for me was just like, he was like the ultimate sitcom family, right? Mm. You had Felicia Rashad, Claire Huxtable.
Yes.
She never played the typical housewife that was just cleaning around the house.
She was a lawyer.
She was a lawyer. She was a partner at a fucking law firm. She matched
him. Do you believe in that dynamic in real life? Could that work?
I mean, I have a
friend. Lawyer and a doctor?
Well, two lawyers. One's in the military and the other one works at a law firm. And they're both like powerhouses. And it works.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So like.
They have kids?
Two kids.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah. And so like watching them do it and like seeing that whole dynamic, it kind of like also molded what the type of partner that I wanted growing
right.
up too. Because mm-hmm. she wasn't subservient. She wasn't just naggy for no reason. Like mm-hmm. he was more of the one that was all over the place.
And right.
she was the rock of the family. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to see this really dope dynamic that I didn't get to see in a lot of sitcoms. They were funny. And also too, they flirted. They were still dating. They had like that sexual tension too.
Oh, yeah.
Which was dope.
Heathcliff was banging that back.
Oh, yeah, I know
he was. You know he was.
Dude, Lisa Bonet, I had a huge crush on Lisa
Bonet. Oh, my God. Who didn't, man? She was so bad.
I thought all of them were pretty, dude. Sandra, too. The actress that played Sandra, I thought she was super pretty, too, in a different type of way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I even thought as a kid, not weird shit, but Raven, when she grew up, I was like, oh, she's going to be pretty when she grows up. She did a little different thing as she grew up. But,
she got them D's on her, though.
Oh, yeah, she definitely got them D's, but them D's are for them ladies.
You know what the saddest thing is? Like, the biggest thing I remember of her, aside from the Cosby Show, is Orlando Bloom talking about him sucking on her titty.
Oh, my God. That shit is so funny.
This one said, oh, I had them things. I was doing
that shit was hilarious. Oh, my God.
Orlando Brown lost his fucking mind.
But it was so entertaining.
Look, you know what's crazy? That boy can rap.
He can rap.
He can fucking rap.
I've heard some songs where he's rapping. I'm like, okay.
I was actually shocked. I actually didn't know. He's actually so talented. He just lost his mind.
It's so funny. Like, it feels like all the people we're talking about are fucked up in some ways now. You know, Orlando, Bill Cosby.
I know.
But they all had, like, talent, and they were great. And it's like, do you appreciate them? Not the same, but obviously, like, not as the person. But do you appreciate their work still? Do you separate art from artistry?
I mean, I can't look at Cosby the same way,
right.
but I could still watch all the Cosby Show because of what it did for me as a kid growing up.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it molded half my comedy.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Half my jokes is based off of the Cosby Show.
Right.
That's
right.
My biggest influence. So there's no way that I could erase that, right? It's just hard to. Let me tell you something. I just got married. I had to resist the urge to play R. Kelly.
Oh, my God.
I didn't do it. But bro. I wanted...
I was playing R. Kelly on the way here.
I wanted Ignition to play so bad.
Oh, my God.
But because it's... You have to understand how many bangers he
put. But it's too weird now, right?
It's a little weird. Like, I'll have it on and I get the feelings of like, oh, man, it's just a banger. Then I'm like, yeah, this motherfucker be raping, though. Yeah. You know, and it's really hard.
I think my homie Cam says it well, too. He says the content reflects the... what he did. It's too close to what he's done.
Yeah, it's like all sexual music.
Yeah, it's very sexualized. It's like, are you talking about a little girl in this song or that song?
But yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I...
And at least with the Cosby Show, he's playing Heathcliff Huxtable.
Right.
He's not Bill Cosby.
He's not Bill Cosby.
So I'm looking at him as a sitcom character. Right. R. Kelly is just the singer, mm-hmm. and he's that person.
Yeah.
So it's always a little fucking weird.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? With Michael Jackson, nothing was proven.
Nothing.
So I could stay in purgatory for the rest of my life.
we're going to stay there.
And I already told you, he talked about them titties.
Yes, he talked about them titties. That was evidence.
Hey, what person who likes little children talks about big old gazungas?
Yeah, man.
You know, michichiladas, dude.
Oh, man, chancletas.
That's right. You go. This guy, if he looks at a full-grown adult, looks at the titties, and he goes,
yeah, yeah.
Done.
Yeah, we can be in the same room.
They should have put that shit in the court case. That shit would have been closed like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get him out of here. He's a free man. Free man.
You just see, like, Your Honor, right here.
Right.
Get him out. He's done. He's a free man. Look at them fishies.
Fishies.
Well, guys, that wraps up this episode of the Jesus Brain Podcast. You could catch, well, give them all your socials.
Oh, man, please. Number one, catch me at Comedy Trap House on YouTube, Instagram. That is our podcast show that we do, and we have different game shows, different things on there that we drop. So join me there. I have a show on there called Mayhem Hour every Friday at 7. It's a live show if you guys want to join. We talk about all the craziness, conspiracies, all the wild shit that's going on in the world, and we try to laugh before the apocalypse. So that's pretty much it. You can follow me at Emmanuel Riches on Instagram.
Perfect. Genius Brain every Sunday is at 12 p.m. Secret Society, the first launch of the year, is out. Genius Brain and Secret Society will be doing a collab piece in the next month. And then after that, I got a couple of separate items that I'll be selling for just Genius Brain alone, because a lot of people were asking for just regular merchandise for the podcast. In December, that's going to happen. So wait for that. And we'll see you all next time. Peace.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that, and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.